Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Newbold Family Service. And I want to say happy Sabbath. Today is indeed a special day and also it's a fantastic day. The weather is fantastic. It's a great weather today. But also today we're highlighting two themes. The Newbold Family Bible, but also the Follow the Bible, which some of you may have heard about earlier. But we're going to look at that a bit further during this service. But I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Are you excited? And I'm sure that we're going to have an enjoyable time. I want to welcome you all, but also welcome our visiting friends that are here. I know there are many. We welcome you all. The scripture reading this morning will be taken from 2 Peter chapter 1, reading from verses 16 to 21. And it's going to be read with a difference, incorporating the theme of following the Bible. We're going to have each verse read in a different language. We're going to have Swedish, Portuguese, French, Malawian, Japanese, and Slovenian.
Det var inte några skickligt hopdiktade sagor jag byggde på när jag för er förkunnade vår Herre Jesu Kristi makt och hans ankomst, utan jag hade med egna ögon sett honom i hans majestät.
Nós estávamos ali quando Deus, o Pai, lhe deu honra e glória. Ela ouviu a voz da suprema glória dizer: Este é meu filho querido, que me dá muita alegria.
Nous avons entendu cette voix venant du ciel lorsque nous étions avec lui sur la sainte montagne.
Ndipo tinao mau achinenelo kazikika koposa. Amene muchita bwino po wasamalira. Monga nyali younikira mmalo andima, kufikira kukacha nika ukanthanda pa mitima yanu.
何よりもまず心得てほしいのは、聖書の預言は何一つ自分勝手に解釈すべきではないということです。
Nikoli namreč nobena prerogba ni prišla po človeški volji, ampak so ljudje nošeni od svetega duha govorili v imenu duha.
This morning we are privileged with two presidents. We have the president of the South England Conference, which is Pastor Sam Davis. We also have Pastor Don McFarlane, who is also the president of the British Union Conference, who we will also be hearing from later. But Pastor Sam Davis is a friend to Newbold. He's a former graduate. So we'll say he's an alumni, but also a Newboldian. So Pastor Sam, we want to welcome you to Newbold. And we pray that as you speak to us today, that God will speak through us, so we're blessed by his word this morning. God bless you.
It's a pleasure to be here with you today. It's a great honor and privilege to be here on this historic day. We welcome the Traveling Bible. Around the conference, our pastors today are focusing on the Bible in a very special way. We focus on the Bible every week, every day. It's integral to our lives, but today we're privileged and blessed that the Bible can be with us. A little later on, it will be in London, and then we have one of our pastors. There are four venues in London, in Brixton, Chiswick, Hams, Holloway, and Clapton, and we have one of our pastors who will be on a motorbike, trying to ensure that it gets to all four of those venues in good time. I will try to get to some of them, not all of them, later on this afternoon. Just want to share a little story with you. A collector of antique books met up with an old friend one day. And the friend said to him, you know, I've just found this old Bible up in my attic covered with dust and so on, and I've just thrown it away, printed by some bloke named Guten somebody. And he said, do you mean Gutenberg? He said, yeah, that's him. He said, you idiot. You've just thrown away one of the first Bibles ever printed. You could have got at least £500,000 for it at auction. He said, no, not this particular Bible. There was scribbles all over it. You know, in all the margins, there was just scribbling some clown by the name of Martin Luther. Let's just bow our heads. Father God, come by here. Take the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts. May they be accepted in your sight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I'm convinced in my mind that we are living in one of the most uncertain times in the history of our world. It seems to me that modern man has lost his moral compass and he's looking for something that continues to elude him. He's looking for something but isn't quite sure what he's looking for. Yes, he knows that he wants security. He knows he wants peace. He knows that he wants love. He knows that he wants values and standards. And he knows that he wants a reasonably ordered society. He's also told himself that in searching for all these things that it has nothing to do with God. And so he's gone off searching for them, but gone off in the wrong direction. Going off in the wrong direction isn't so bad if you come to that place very quickly where you realize that you've gone off in the wrong direction, evaluate your situation and turn around and start going in the right direction. But some time ago, modern man took off in the wrong direction and has continued to go in the wrong direction. He came some time ago to a crossroads in his experience, and modern man asked the men of the great Renaissance and the Industrial Revolution and the great men of science and said, which way should we go? And they said, science and empirical evidence has got to be the way. We can no longer do revelation. We can no longer be told by the church that this is the way. We will no longer do authority. We've got to measure it. We've got to touch it. We've got to feel it. Someone came to Charles Darwin and said, Charles, which way should we go? And Darwin said, it's got to be origin of the species. And let me just pause there for a while and say, imagine that you had £2 million to invest. You know, you don't play the lottery, so you wouldn't get it that way, but somebody who's won the lottery gave it to you, and you've got £2 million to invest. And so you've come to the banker for advice. And as you sit there listening to this investment banker, he's using the following terms. He says, I think... that you could invest in Tesco's. They're not too bad. I'm strongly inclined to suspect that should you invest with Sainsbury's, you may do well. I'm driven to conclude that if you were to put your money with these guys, maybe it will do well. I think there is some probability. I presume that the laws governing this particular investment are not really quite sure. And like Deborah Meaden and Peter Jones, you'd say, listen, I'm out. Because there is no way you would want to invest your money with somebody who's using that kind of language. You are looking for certainty. You are looking for the banker to be definitive and to be certain about what he's saying to you. And that language does not inspire confidence. As I read the first chapter of Darwin's Origin of the Species, that was the kind of language that I found. The language does not inspire me with confidence. Darwin is saying, I think, I am strongly inclined to suspect, we are driven to conclude. There is also some probability. I presume that. The laws governing this are really quite unknown. If I'd handed in an essay with that kind of language to Dr. Leonard years ago, there would have been red ink all over it and it would have come back saying vague and woolly. Start again. And yet modern man has invested deeply and heavily in that kind of language, and we find ourselves totally lost. And we see the result of man's lostness reflected in our society today. Some writers have been brave enough to admit the fact that we are lost. George MacDonald Fraser, creator of the Flashman series of books, writes in the Mail, January 5, 2008, and he says, I am deeply concerned for the United Kingdom and its future. I look at the old country as it was in my youth and as it is today, and to use a fine Scots word, I am scunnered, meaning disgusted. I know that some things are wonderfully better than they used to be. The new miracle of surgery, public attitudes to the disabled, the health and well-being of our children, intelligent concern for the environment, the massive strides made in science and technology. Yes, there are material blessings and benefits innumerable which were unknown in our youth. But much has deteriorated. He says the United Kingdom has begun to look more like a third world country, shabby, littered, ugly, run down, without purpose or direction, misruled by a typical third world government, corrupt, incompetent, and undemocratic. My generation has seen the decay of ordinary morality, standards of decency, sportsmanship, politeness, respect for the law, family values, politics and education and religion. These were the very character of Britishness, he says, and it's all gone. Other writers have been also prepared to recognize the fact that we are lost, going nowhere. Cindy Thomas, also writing in the Associated Content News, 31st of March, 2007, she says, society has gone to hell in a handbasket. I don't know what the phrase means, but I can conjure up some things. So few have any real morals left. It's nothing for a person to talk filth in front of an elderly person. It's nothing to parade around half-dressed. It's nothing to go out in public with your underwear showing or none at all. It's nothing for a young child to curse. It's nothing for children to talk back to their parents. It's nothing for women to want men for their money and what they can spend on them. It's nothing for a man to want a woman for her body, not caring about what's underneath her skin. It's nothing for a person to horribly hurt or kill another person and feel no remorse for it. It's nothing for a person to be condemned for daring to have morals and refusing to say it's not right or okay to do things which go against nature itself. We've gone to hell in a handbasket, and it's dark down here. Both Thomas and Fraser are only two of the many voices in our society who recognize that we are lost. The politicians know it, the social workers know it, the police know it, and we all recognize that we're in a world that's lost and out of control. And through all of the lostness echoing and reverberating down through the corridors of time and across the continents and breaking through linguistic and cultural barriers, I hear the Apostle Peter saying, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard and when we were with him in the holy mountain." I don't hear Peter saying, "I think." I don't hear Peter saying, "I'm strongly inclined to suspect." I don't hear him saying, "We are driven to conclude." I don't hear him saying, "I presume that the laws governing this are quite unknown." I don't hear him saying, "Maybe." I hear him saying, "I know what I'm talking about. I have touched, I have seen, I have felt, I have heard, and you can be sure as I communicate to you that what I'm saying, it is the truth." Amen. Living in a world that's completely lost and out of control. And Peter says, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, and the day dawn and the day star arise in our hearts." Peterson's message puts it this way: we couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard. God's glory, God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark time as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in our hearts. Cindy Thomas says we've gone to hell and it's very dark down here. When my son was growing up, I would go into his room to wake him. And one of the things, as I walked into the room, I would turn on the light. And he would say, turn off the light, turn off the light. And if I wanted to be mean, I'd walk out and leave the light on. And we are in a society where things are so dark down here that if you want to share the word with somebody, you better be careful how you turn the light on. In the beginning, God and focus saying, turn off the light, turn off the light. Thou shalt not commit adultery, turn off the light. Homosexuality is a sin, turn off the light. And even in God's house, some folk are blinded by the light. We are in a situation where the Apostle Paul comes, Apostle Peter says to us, we have a more sure word. In a darkened society, in a darkened world, there is one thing that is certain, and that is God's word. If you follow God's word, you will not get lost. If you follow God's word, you will not lose your moral compass in a world that's gone crazy, in a world that no longer recognizes truth for what it is, in a world that has turned truth upside down. There is one standard that remains. There is one certainty that continues to be certain in this dark world, and this is God's word. I commend the word to you today. Be careful how you use it. Be careful how you introduce it. Be careful how you turn the light on. Some we've come to recognize that you can't shine the light into people's eyes. Some of us, we use the elf method to diffuse the light. Some of us use food and lunch to diffuse the light. Some of us have to become friends with them before we can introduce the light gradually. But somehow, we've got to find a way to let the light be seen so that people can come to a knowledge of the God we know and love and serve. May God bless you today.
Some of you that were in Sabbath school would have been reminded of the Newbold Family Bible, and you would have recognized that Dr. Carmen and myself had been the supervisors for the Newbold Family Bible, and you would have seen the PowerPoint, which I'm not going to show again. But this actual idea came from the General Conference Initiative, which is following the Bible. Now, I need to clarify something. The bulletin has been intentional in the order. We had a sermon at the beginning, and why was that? Well, Pastor McFarlane was actually in the contemporary service doing a presentation, and you just got back. So Pastor McFarlane is here, and we got the Newbold Family Bible, got the idea from the Follow the Bible, and Pastor McFarlane will share with us the importance of the initiative, the idea that's come behind it. And I just want to say that the Newbold, just reemphasize again that the Newbold Family Bible has been a tremendous success here, and on behalf of Ronan, we just want to encourage you all to be a part of that. And Pastor McFarlane, we'd like to ask you to come forward to share with us the Follow the Bible. Thank you.
Thank you, Alistair. This is one of those days I was hoping that Pastor Davis would preach a long sermon. I know he's good at it, but he just preached the right length today, because when we came in, he was just saying his prayer at the end. But I would like to thank the Newbold community for the activities of the day, for the emphasis that you're giving to this special program of the Church Follow the Bible. We have with us today a representative from the Bible Society, Carol Akiwumi, and I'm going to ask her to speak first before I say a few words on Follow the Bible. I want to do that because she is electrifying, and I'm sure that you would prefer her to speak than me. So I'm going to invite you now, Carol, to come to the platform and share with us a part of the work that is being done by the Bible Society.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor McFarlane. You're very kind. You know, as you spoke about Pastor Davies, I just remembered a joke that somebody sent me last week. And this isn't about you, so please. But apparently this new minister came into church and he just finished his message and a little old lady came up to him and said, "Wow, you were better than the preacher from last week." And he said, "How so?" And she said, "Well, he spoke for an hour and said nothing." And there he was thinking, "Wow." And then she continued, "You spoke for 15 minutes and you did the same." So that, no intentions there, just sharing a joke. You know, these things get sent around the internet a few times. But thank you. My name's Carol Akiwumi, and I have the honor of being here today. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the support for the work that we do. Before I get into sharing just a little bit about the work that we do, I'd like three volunteers, please. Fantastic. I love it when their children are in the service. They just go, yes, please, you. But then we need other people from different generations because God doesn't have grandchildren. He has children. So two other children of God, hopefully from the 60s and a bit more mature. Yes? Okay, all right. Not from the 60s then, from the 70s. You can pretend to be any age you want. That's okay. You wish. Okay, if you wish you were from the 60s, please volunteer. Yes? Anybody? Yes. Thank you. Yes. A round of applause for this gentleman from the 60s. Yes. Somebody else, hopefully representative of the female gender, because God has, you know, male and female. He created them. Yes. One more. Okay. You want to know what you're supposed to do. You're going to have a contest to see who can get to a passage of scripture first. Yes, you're better at this. So come on. We need a lady to vote. Oh, well done. A round of applause for her, please. Thank you. Okay, the rules are quite clear. In 10 seconds, they need to get to John 8:30. Can you read? Oh, good. That's all right. Okay, just checking. They need to get to John 8:32 and read it to us. But your rules are these. You're not allowed to make any comment, and you're not allowed to show anybody your Bible here on stage or in the audience. If you cannot find John 8:32 for whatever reason, just smile, put your head down in meditative reflection, and wait till, you know, we round this up. And then you're going to help me count downwards from 10 to 0. Yes? So this is yours. Wait, don't open it till we say go. Okay. Till we say go. All righty. Okay, everybody now go. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What's your name?
Teacher.
Who's your Sabbath day teacher? Your Sabbath school teacher. Sabbath school teacher. Who? Oh, you weren't meant to reveal that. She's in trouble now because you couldn't get to John 8:32. Okay, he couldn't actually because it's a Welsh Bible. Please give him a round of applause. Now, she looks like she's won the challenge, but are you at John
8:32? I haven't got a clue.
Exactly. She hasn't got a clue because it's Chinese. Another round of applause, please. And he has... He didn't even get to his glasses, I noticed. He gave up from the beginning. You want to know why? Because he has the most common version of the Bible in the world. Can anybody guess what this is? NIV, no. Sorry? Hebrew. You think there are more Hebrew speakers than anybody else? No. Right, okay, no. It's not NIV and it's not Hebrew. Anybody else want to guess? Spanish, no. Gideon is not a translation. Sorry, somebody said? Good news. They're all good news. And maybe your eyesight's good, but no, this is in the good news version. Would you like me to tell you? You're doing considerably better, because in the other service, they only mentioned English translations and versions. And I thought, typical English versions. Admittedly, we have the most, but the most widely available in the world is zilch. It's blank. And it's blank for a reason, because majority of your brothers and sisters in the world actually don't have scriptures. There are nearly 7,000 languages, would you believe it? And less than 3/4 have any sort of scriptures. How does that strike you? And that is, we're saying here that more than 4,000 languages, people of 4,000 language-speaking groups have never, in their own heart language, read that Jesus loves them. And we're in the 21st century. And so the Bible Society is about making the Bible heard. This is our vision. You know, wherever we are, you know, it's about making it credible, making it available, and making it accessible to people. Because guess what? Bible poverty is real, and fighting it matters. Sometimes when we talk about Bible poverty, people automatically think, yes, it's all those people out there in Africa who haven't got Bibles. That's one sense of Bible poverty. But if you own a Bible and you don't read it, what do you think that is? Okay, so maybe you own several translations, and maybe you even get to read it in, not just on a Sabbath day, but at other times. What if you don't follow what it says? That's a kind of poverty. And so Bible poverty is real. We are working to help people, you know, to empower the Church of Jesus Christ to make sure that we eradicate this as much as we can. And in a sense, we do that overseas by simply putting Bibles in people's hands. And I want to tell you the story of Elizabeth, if she shows up. Yeah, this is Elizabeth. Elizabeth is Maasai. And like many of her people, they're illiterate, so they can't read. And for 20 years, Elizabeth was a Christian. And finally, the work, the New Testament in Maasai, was complete. And you would have thought when we had the celebration to launch it, that it would have been a glorious day for them. But most of them gathered around and they were just looking at us, because it was like, okay, yes, yeah, what do we do with this book? Firewood? No, they couldn't read. And so it wasn't until we got a device like this, a solar-powered Bible. Now, when I say solar, if you know anything about Africa, you say, yay, because it's not dependent on electricity. But this is really easy, not just for illiterate people, but for people who are blind, because it's very simply chapter, verse, you know, and volume. And your test is to see if you can recognize, apart from Pastor McFarlane and Victor, who were in the other service, if you can tell me what part of the scripture this is.
Injili kama ilivyoandikwa na Mathayo, sura ya kwanza. Yesu Kristo alikuwa mzao wa Daudi, mzao wa Abrahamu.
Anyone? Can you guess? Oh, no. Not you. Why do you have Swahili speakers everywhere? Now, unless you speak Swahili, you really wouldn't know, but it makes my point especially. You were all listening intently, but it meant nothing to you because that's not your heart language. And that's exactly how it was. When we got this to Elizabeth, do you know what she said to one of my colleagues? She said, finally, God speaks to me. After 20 years of being a Christian, God speaks to me. I can hear God. I can listen to him while I meditate. I can meditate on his words while I tend to my goats, you know. I can transfer the heritage of my faith to my grandchildren. She was really excited. And that's usually the response that we have when we get people's heart scriptures in people's heart languages to them. In this country, it's different because it's not really about getting Bibles to people. The places are washed with Bibles on the internet, Bible sticks. You can download so many things free. But it's what? It's about working in culture, through media, through education, through politics and the arts, to advocate, to make the Bible credible, to make it relevant to the society and the times that we live in. So that's how we're working. And I wish I could go into all that, because it's all exciting stuff, what we do. But I've only got about 2 minutes of my 10 minutes left, so I'll go on. But as wonderful as it is for Elizabeth and those who now have Bibles, and for all of us in this country, still more than half the world's languages wait. So what can you do about it? Because it will be amiss of me to go away and not tell you. Well, you can continue doing the amazing thing that you do, which is support us, so your church can be a part of it. But as individuals, what can you do? Do you realize that for less than £1 a week, £4 a month, you can actually put a Bible in somebody's hand? Most of you won't miss that, but you have the opportunity today to sign up and do that. You know, £4 a month. We'll put the Bible in someone's hand, but we'd like you to pray. Hopefully you would have received one of these as you came in, a prayer bulletin. Please pray. Pray about the work that we do. And when you finish praying, pray some more, because it always helps. If you think that you've got a little bit of time on your hands, feel free to volunteer. It could be as a church rep, just getting the information out there. There's so many things that you can do, and we'll support you right through it. And finally, like I said again, give. Give, because that's actually what gets the work done. I want to leave this with you. This isn't working anymore. Yeah. There is no greater poverty than to live without the Bible's life-transforming message. You're here because your life was transformed by the words of Jesus. We want to give other people that opportunity, especially in places like China, where 15,000 people come to faith every day. And whenever our representatives go to distribute Bibles, we have people just literally clamoring and struggling just to get a Bible of their own. God bless you.
Arguably, the greatest boxing match in the history of the world was what was called Thriller in Manila. Muhammad Ali against? Not Foreman. Joe Frazier. That was the third fight between them. In fact, the Follow the Bible plan was actually launched in the very hall where Muhammad Ali fought Joe Frazier, and the sign, Thriller in Manila, is still there. You saw it there, didn't you? Thriller in Manila. And I thought that that was quite appropriate, because this initiative is another installment in the fight against the evil one. He doesn't want us to read the Bible, does he? But we are seeking to bring our members back around the world to Bible study, to Bible reading. Now, before I say anything more, we have with us today someone who has been traveling with this Bible around the Trans-European Division. He told me that he has traveled, about 8,000 miles already with this Bible. And so we have Janusz Kovacs-Bira here today. I'm going to ask you, Janusz, just to tell us a little about this Bible and the Follow the Bible plan.
It is an absolute privilege to bring the Bible to Newbold College. And it is an honor to present this Bible, which can enter into the Guinness records anytime. So this is the most traveled Bible in human history. This is country number 91 the Bible travels to, and it is halfway through its worldwide course. And I would like you to know that this Bible can enter into the Guinness records because of the multiple languages used in this book. Every single book of this Bible is written on another language. And this way, it shows about 66 languages. And we would like to give this message to the whole world that God still speaks the languages of all people. And there is a relevant message through this book. Just think about this. If all the financial professionals would have regarded and followed the stewardship principles written in this Bible, we wouldn't talk about the financial crisis in the world. So this Bible is traveling all around the Trans-European Division, and I'm taking it with me. And sometimes it is happening on the plane that the captain is announcing that, ladies and gentlemen, a very special Bible is traveling with us. And I have to take it out of the bag and show it to the people. And many people are just coming searching for their language within this Bible. We took it to Norway, to the University of Oslo. And for 10 hours, we distributed environmentally friendly bags, the Gospel of John, and one apple, because we knew that all students are always hungry. And some of these students came back to us and said, gentlemen, you are doing such a good job, because you highlighted three values. The Bible, the Word of God. We need that in Norway. Secondly, the environment, and we need really to take care of the environment. And thirdly, health, because we wanted that apple, and that apple was really delicious. So I want to tell you that this book unites us, unites people all over the world. And we just want to highlight the importance and relevance of this book. We do not worship this book. We worship God who speaks to us through this book. So I'm really glad that this Bible came to the UK. And Brother President, I wish you all God's blessings as you take this Bible all over the United Kingdom. And I wish that many of us would recommit our lives to the reading of this book daily. May God bless you.
Amen. I don't think I need to add much to that, especially as it's coming up to 12:30 and your stomach is asking your mouth what's happening. So... But let me say that this afternoon, this Bible is going to London. We're having four major services in London, one at Holloway. I think, Carol, you'll be at Holloway this afternoon. There'll be one in Chiswick. There'll be one in Clapton. And tell me, Victor, where the fourth one will be. You're my communications director. When I forget, you tell me. Chiswick, Clapton, Holloway.
And Clapton, yes.
Brixton, thank you. I knew you could tell me. And Brixton. And tomorrow it will be going to Dublin, and from there it will be going to Holland and Greece and the Middle East. Now, I saw a good friend of mine here this morning. He's the president of our church in Israel, and we are delighted to have you here today. I imagine the Bible will be coming to you, or has it been to you yet?
No, Saturday.
Next weekend it will be you. After Greece it will be you. Very good. Well, it came from there, didn't it?
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.